Good morning, everybody. Welcome to December. My name is Joanne, and welcome to the Unity Center for Positive Living. We're glad you could join us, especially if it's your first time. I'd like to read to you from the Daily Word. Just had it in my hand. Short term memory. Through faith, I am centered and guided every step of every day. My faith is more than a passive state of being. It is the active energy that empowers my thoughts and brings them into manifestation in this human experience. I am always expressing faith in something, even spiritual truth or dualistic illusion. I am grateful for the growing awareness that allows me to recognize where I am placing my faith and to make conscious creative choices through each day. If I find myself giving my faith to thoughts of lack or limitation, I shift my focus to the spiritual substance that can accomplish all things through me. It is by embracing this understanding of faith that I create a new consciousness, choice by choice. And from James 1:6, but ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So because it is December, today is the first day of Advent season. And this morning, Susan will come forward to light the first candle.
On this first Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of faith. Dear God, we enter into this Advent season immersed in your presence. At the beginning of this spiritual journey, our hearts are filled with many feelings, faith, joy, peace, and love. Throughout this season and beyond, the love of our hearts and the understanding of our minds guide us in all that we do. We are all one, and in this oneness with your presence, we find strength. In oneness with your presence, we find understanding. We find fulfillment. Today our hearts are full and our minds are at peace. And from Luke 1:26 to 28, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you."
Thank you, Susan. Let's remain seated while we do Shirley the presence. Inside your
Thank you.
and greet your neighbor.
Good morning.
Feeling like Christmas.
Are you here?
That's why I wasn't here last week. I put up my Christmas lights the day before. That was a little too much. I don't know why, technically.
Nice to see you.
It kind of works out pretty good because I need to turn my book in the library, let them check it in, and then I got to come back a couple days later and check it out. I have to get it back on the show.
It's hard to redo, yeah.
Big thing with their Christmas families, but
beings that were kind of short of worker bees, being snowbirds and people who moved and passed on. And there, I've heard of an organization, they're called Forgotten Children. You may have heard of them, they've been on the radio several times. I think this is their second or third year in the area. They do a great thing. They get names of children, families from the school counselors and such, and they have a Santa Claus and elves who deliver gifts. They make sure there's at least three toys. There's books, hats, gloves, food. They do other things. They have done things like make a car payment, pay a utility bill. They really do a good job. And all we would have to do is take an unwrapped gift toy to Les Schwab, unwrapped, which would save us a lot of labor that we have trouble doing. They especially would like books. They said they fell short of a few books last year, so they would be really interested in children's books and toys of all ages, including teenagers. So I think that might be an option for us this year to do our thing that we usually do.
And I might say also that they are real happy for cash donations. We gave some money Friday night to that group, and that might be easier for some folks than shopping, so it'll work.
Great.
Is that Les Schwab and Centralia?
I think it's either one.
Either one, I think, yeah.
Either one?
Yeah, we could, if you don't want to take them there yourself, we could just start piling stuff on the table downstairs, that real long table, and then just take it all over at once.
Yeah, I think they have a deadline for when they want the toys again.
Okay, we'll find out what the deadline is.
Yeah, I don't remember. They said, but I don't remember it.
Yeah. Okay, and your Tuesday group?
Oh, Tuesday group, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're going to take a little bit of a hiatus.
A break on the Tuesday reading group.
We're almost done. We have one section left to do, so December.
Okay.
Everyone's busy.
We'll let you know. January.
Yeah.
Relax.
Whatever.
And our other regularly scheduled programs or meetings are downstairs on the wall by the restrooms. Any other announcements today? Mm-hmm. All righty. Let's see. How about joining me in the Unity Statement? It's in your program. We'll say it together. We believe in our oneness
with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God.
And just stay seated because Sherry's going to do a solo song of joy.
So in keeping with doing Christmas songs, this is a Christmas song, and part of it is in Latin, Hodie Christus Natus es Hodie, but it means Christ is born today. Now the righteous are rejoicing.
Christmas hurry. Keep a True Lent, and it's by Charles Fillmore. I'm reading from a subtitle called Spiritual Substance. Substance exists in a realm of ideas and is powerful when handled by one who is familiar with its characteristics. Spiritual substance is the source of all material wealth and cannot suffer loss or destruction by human thought. It is always with us, ready to be used and to make the consciousness potent and fertile. This is why Christ said, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Just as the earth is the universal matrix in which all vegetation is developed, so the invisible spirit substance is the universal matrix in which ideas of prosperity germinate and grow and bring forth according to our faith and trust. I know that any seed that is planted in omnipresent spirit substance will germinate and grow and bring forth fruit after its kind. Just as the farmer selects the best seed for planting, so we must choose the words that will bring forth the rich harvest of plenty.
Thank you.
who are away for the winter. Greetings from Golden Valley, Arizona. We are in a nice senior RV park enjoying the cool and sunny weather. Found a Unity Center in Bullhead City. Meeting new friends and exploring some desert scenery. Happy holiday season to all. Love, John and Sherry. Okay. That was nice. All right. Now, if you join me for the affirmations in your program. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all that I have already experienced. I am growing more prosperous with every day.
I am healthy, active, whole, and happy.
I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in perfect harmony. So each Sunday we have a different speaker, and today I'm happy to introduce Daria, one of our long-time favorites. And normally we say the Lord's Prayer, but we love hearing her sing it. And then she will also take us into the Alleluia and then break into her talk. So here's our one.
Oh, I have a few things to get up from down here. Let's see. Can I read some?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so I'll be singing the Lord's Prayer, and you can sing along if you like. It's up to you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from error. For thine is the kingdom and the here, and I spoke about make this house a blessing for my soul. And thinking also of us as a house, a dwelling, a place in which we dwell in the consciousness, the indwelling presence of the highest consciousness, the Christ consciousness, the consciousness of the infinite source and substance. And now, dwelling in that place, and that being a blessing for our souls and their unfolding to our highest potential, being revealed to us here, right here on earth in our walk, in our journey. How do we follow the calling that has been placed in our soul? So faith is central to that, and it's the first of the 12 powers, as we know, and it's our candle today, and it's also very much connected to the substance that Charles Fillmore is talking about in the book that Erica read from. So it is that central starting place. And the origin of the word faith in Latin really has to do with, guess what? Trust. It has to do, fides. So we have fidelity, we know about. So we're talking, when we talk about faith, we're talking about several dimensions. We're talking about the beliefs that we have. And sometimes we're talking about a whole big set of beliefs that get labeled as a particular tradition or set of traditions that we follow. Like, you follow the Christian faith, or you follow the Buddhist faith, or you follow the Yoruba faith. Whatever that is as a set of beliefs and doctrines and teachings and practices and understandings. But we also talk about faith in terms of how great, how strong is your faith. And in different traditions around the world, this concept, this notion of faith is central in this sense of how strong is it? And to what extent do we trust? And trust really has the roots in its meaning of strength. What is the strength and level of conviction of the faith that we have? And this is the difference between the faith that we may espouse or say that we have, because at the subconscious realm will show us what our faith really is, right?
Yep.
So what we act as if or behave as if our faith is this set of things, even though we may espouse something else, because our intellect and what we study about faith and what we study about wisdom and what we study about the teachings and what we study is not always what works all the way through at a subconscious level in our system. Can I get a
Amen.
It's not always what we are demonstrating. The reason we're not always demonstrating that is because the subconscious realm has a lot more oomph, a lot more juice, a lot more power in that iceberg than what we get from our intellect. And I'm not knocking intellect, I'm all in favor of IQ, okay? I'm just saying that it has a particular position in working with the consciousness and expansion of mind. And it is wonderful to exercise our intellect by our study, but our intellect does not grow our faith. So, that transformation that we have the awareness of the difference between what we espouse as our faith, what we know and study about, versus how we react emotionally to situations, how we may react habitually to certain situations. Just because we're accustomed to acting that way. How we may act a certain way in response to a situation just as a way of bonding with our sister or our mother or our father or our brother or our husband or our wife or our child. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so that I'm floating along here. I had my Tuesday study class. I had my Sunday lesson. I had my meditation that was strong and powerful this morning. I had my conversation with my prayer partner. And then here comes an exchange with one of my beloved friends or sisters who is having trouble with something and complaining to me about it. And I'm in the habit, because it's my role in that system, to say whatever it is that makes her feel like I'm commiserating with her. And next thing you know, I'm agreeing when I really don't agree. And I'm not talking about me. Am I talking about you? Yeah. But so I see this all the time, where we're in this because of a connection to identity or a connection with familiarity. And it's different from what I say, I believe. Now, granted, when you change that behavior in that system, in your family, among your friends, or on your board, or whatever it is that you're doing this practice, this old practice in, and you come in with a higher frequency of consciousness, I'm done with that role. I'm not going to be everybody's dump bucket for, you know, whatever's going wrong. I'm going to listen and respond differently in accordance with my faith and my understanding and my soul's experience. When you do that, people might look at you first two or three times like, what's wrong with you? And it's not about preaching to people or telling them they're wrong or trying to get them to believe as you believe. It's about just a different response that is in sync with your faith. There's a Buddhist story of a woman who had lost her son. And she was so grief-stricken and sorrowful that she prayed to Buddha, and Buddha said to her, okay, I will bring your sons back to life if you can go to as many houses as possible and bring me back a white mustard seed from any house that has not suffered death. Any house that has not suffered death, bring me back a white mustard seed. And she went to your house, and your house, and your house, and your house, and your house. And after exhausting this search, she comes back to Buddha and says, I could not find a house untouched by death. And from that experience, she goes on to begin to recognize and have a different relationship with loss, with grief, with death. And I'll share with you one of the things she says. She says, I've gotten past the killing of my sons, have made that the end to my search for men. I don't grieve, I don't weep. It's everywhere destroyed, delight. The mass of darkness is shattered, having defeated the army of death. Free of fermentations, I dwell. And this story is the source of the popular saying in Buddhism, the living are few, but the dead are many. Because many of us wonder, not in the tradition of Buddhism, but in the tradition of Yeshua ben Joseph, also known as Jesus the Christ, who said, follow me for eternal life. What does that mean? And what is our faith and our calling and our trust and our discernment and our love have to do with eternal life? Some people think that means that's what you get after you go to heaven. But what is this eternal life? What is this call? It's understanding to that. And it is this consciousness that is the kingdom of heaven. It is this consciousness that is the kingdom of heaven, and living and thinking in sync with the consciousness that is the kingdom of heaven. Then Jesus teaches that one of the parables of the kingdom of heaven is what? Like the faith of the mustard seed. What? What'd you say?
I knew the mustard seed was coming back around somehow. I love it. That was beautiful.
The mustard seed. And so he you know, saying in Matthew, I don't want to paraphrase. When he's teaching about faith in relationship to the kingdom of heaven, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all of the herbs, and it becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. If we had but the faith of a mustard seed, and the reason to use a mustard seed is because it's so tiny, then we would be what? We are growing in and we're using our calling, and we have confidence in it, because what is the ally of faith? Trust and confidence. That word, fides, is also in confidence, that there is this trust. They're allies. And what becomes its spiritual enemy? Doubt. So suppose I am out here in the deepest of waters. I'm in the ocean, where we have the visible and invisible, where we have that which we see and which we don't see, that which is known and which is unknown. And metaphorically, some of us have been in some oceans. And sometimes wondering if we had the swimming skills. Well, when we have doubt instead of the faith of the mustard seed, it's like taking a stroke and then not putting your arm out for a stroke and then not. And what happens when you're in deep water and there's no movement? You sink, right? So then you say, you drum up that faith, right? I know better than this. Even though I'm frightened, I know better than this. And you start swimming. Next thing you know, if you have one of the other challenges of faith, you have what? Sometimes fear. And that's what comes underneath that doubt, right? And the fear is like I'm swimming, but the crocodiles are snapping at my feet rapidly. So these are only the demonstrations of the inner on the outer. The crocodile snapping at your heels is a way of outpicturing that which is going on in your subconscious. Can I get a an amen?
Amen.
It's an outpicturing. That's all it is. And so if I respond to it like, oh boy. So what is it that I'm really afraid of? Then I can work with myself. I can have the dynamic transmutation of that emotion in that moment into the faith of the mustard seed, which will grow into a great tree in which birds are graced in its shadow. So, faith and trust are intrinsically linked. to have the faith and the trust and the conviction that goes with that. But to do that, I have to also understand something about discernment, because discernment, with all the things that are going on around me, I have to be able to discern what is from my fear and what is from my emotional state versus what is from the calling. What is from my habit of what I'm comfortable with and familiar with versus what is coming from the calling? Because the calling may take us out into a long personal desert in which we are wondering if we're going to get a drink of water. The calling may take us into the wilderness and into some uncharted waters, because the calling today may be different from what the calling was 30 years ago. Maybe you did that already. Maybe you created that. Maybe you learned it, and now you're still here. So, I'm still here. Where now? What would you have me do, O Lord God of my being? What is my next assignment? What do I follow with the faith of the mustard seed and the strength that you get from the floor of the ocean, from which we have all of creation and from which we can go to the floor of the ocean, be in that unknown and known, invisible and visible worlds, and gain the conviction and discernment and see, spot, hear the sound and feel it. Because if you feel it internally, sense it internally, and then you have some out picturing of it, you say, there it is. But because you don't have a list of directions from your GPS that tell you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, sometimes you may wonder. And you get down to the third thing you have the impulse to do, and then you start what? Sometimes doubting. Well, was that not, this is getting a little tight, this is a little hard, and I don't really know what to do next, and I tried it yesterday and it didn't quite work, and maybe that was just an idea I had and it's not really my calling, and la 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 la. You just pull back that stroke in the ocean, right? No problem. Start again. Take a deep breath. Witness the process and go for it. Because the calling is there. As one of my teachers used to say, God doesn't keep the mold. Why you keep praying the same prayer over and over and over and over again? God did not need a memo. God's not lost. God's not confused. That highest consciousness, that infinite source and substance, is not confused. I created the confusion with my back and forth dance. You ever seen a hermit crab move along on the sand? Very fascinating meditation to watch a hermit crab. They go this way. Then they go this way. Then they go this way. Then they go this way. Fascinating. And you can explore the territory that way. But witness when you're doing it based on doubt, based on fear, skepticism, and then go back to that calling, that tiny impulse. Because what? Guess what? When you hear it, it gets louder. When you recognize that you're seeing it out there by the neighbor that just indicate, they ask you the question you just had in your meditation yesterday. They responded to the thing that you said, this is what God is telling me to do. And the next thing you know, here comes somebody talking about that or asking you for that thing. And you're going, okay. Then you have to deal with the fourth thing, love. is my love of myself, is my love of God, is my love of whatever this is, present and available and with me. Yeah, I love doing that, but I don't know how I can make a living doing that. Yes, I love doing that. It's really fun and it's easy for me, but, you know, I might lose a lot of my familiar friends if I go in that direction. Everybody's not that comfortable with that kind of stuff, so I kind of like to do that over here and not really in public. I really do love it, but I don't think I know enough to do it, and, you know, I have a da-da-da-da. So, everything after but. All right, all we're doing is being aware of our what? Fear and anxiety about the calling. So, since we know that, we have to go back to that initial first power, faith. Am I just going to espouse faith, or am I going to build my faith? Am I going to say I trust, or am I going to build my trust? Because even with discernment, you know, people talk about who they trust, who they don't trust, and I have a poem about this that says, you know, that it's about trusting myself. I trust you to be who you are. And I have to trust myself in the mind and eyes of God to see who you are. So that building your discernment helps to build that wisdom that's talked about among the 12 powers. But I like to go in with the discernment because that's the thing that many of us need to really pump up so that we know the difference between where the message is coming from. You know how caller ID on the telephone? Some of us have that, some of us don't. But we need that caller ID to know this is coming from the highest source, as opposed to it's coming from what I'm comfortable with or familiar with. Got it?
Got it.
So there's this, do we have the song? Is that there? I'm running out of time. So we're gonna do the song.
Yeah.
We've come this far by faith.
Yeah.
And we're probably not gonna do the whole song. We're gonna do the, give me a copy so let me see how I printed this one out. Okay, thank you. We're gonna do the thing that says refrain. We're gonna do that twice. And then I'll do the don't be discouraged thing, and then we're gonna go back and do the refrain twice. Okay? We're not gonna do the whole thing, but we're gonna do that refrain is the point.
Refrain, there's two refrain sections.
No, it says refrain, meaning you go back to that.
Oh, I see. Okay,
so I'm going to sing it just once through so you get the idea of what it sounds like, what the melody's like, okay? And then after that, I'm going to ask those who can comfortably stand to stand while we sing it. Okay, because you have to be the rhythm section. You know, you got to be the, this is acapella. You got to work, right? Okay, so we've come this far by faith. So you can learn it. Leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Okay, stand up. Even if you don't sing, okay. So, I mean, if you stand comfortably. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Don't be discouraged by the troubles in your life. He'll bear your burdens and remove all misery and strife. That's why we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet. Can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Thank you. With the meditation. Deep breaths. Let's take three very deep breaths and settle ourselves into our seats. Exhale with your mouth open. Second breath, inhale. Exhale. Third breath, inhale. Exhale. Imagine that you are this wonderful seed of faith, and that you have the opportunity to recognize any consciousness, any thought form, any way of thinking and being that you have that has tended to interfere with that faith, just as a lesson or a way of teaching you and helping you grow. If you think you have learned what you need to learn from whatever those little tiny obstacles may have been, thank each one and send it on its way. With a deep breath for each one that you release or eliminate. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale, exhale. If you want to keep one or two around because you don't think you finished learning yet, it's up to you. But just keep breathing and clearing the space around you as a seed of faith. And as you are growing there, this seed of faith, in the rich, fertile soil of this earth, feel yourself grow and be nurtured by the Spirit. And as you grow, you hear Spirit whisper to you, your calling. at this time. And with all of your heart, sing back the Spirit, a love song. Like the song, I Will Follow Him, Wherever He May Lead. Play that song when you get home. I will follow him wherever he may lead. Remember that. And make that agreement. You may not see all the steps, but you will listen. You will have discerning ears that hear. I have discerning ears that hear. I have discerning eyes that see. I have a discerning heart that knows. And so it is. Ashe, amen, hallelujah.
Time right.
Huh?
Get your lifetime right.
Yeah, really. Okay. So that was wonderful. Okay. Now, business. It's time for our morning offering. There are two containers. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one is for our outreach program. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. The word of everyone in our church. Beloved Mother, Father God, We ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters, and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen.
So it is.
Let's say the prayer of protection together on the back of your program or on the wall here. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. All is well. And let's form a circle for our peace song. Thank you, everybody who made our Sunday service possible. Don't forget coffee refreshments and fellowship downstairs.